San Diego's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
All right, good evening, everybody. My name is Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, and producer, coming to you live from KFMB Studios with 50,000 watts of power. We're heard not just in San Diego County, but Orange County, LA County, up the coast of Seattle on a good night, down to Cabo, out to the desert. You can get these podcasts if you go on Apple and or iTunes and search the title of the show, It's Your Money and Your Life. You can get all these podcasts on iymoney.com. We take out the commercials. And now time to introduce the main man of the hour. He's an accomplished marathon runner. He's a best-selling author. He's a philanthropist. He's a family office expert advising several high net worth families. His name is Richard Muzio. Richard, good evening. How are you? And CPA extraordinaire. Richard Muzio, good evening. How are you tonight?
Having a great evening. Just came in from having dinner at my mom's house with my brother out in El Cajon, so I'm well fed.
Uh-huh. Wonderful. Nice and toasty out there today.
Huh? It's probably going to hit 80 on Monday.
Yeah, so. Aren't we having the best weather in the world, for God's sake?
It is incredible. Let's not waste time, because we have somebody on the phone.
We've got a VIP, folks. We have, I don't think we've had Irwin Jacobs. We had Malin Burnham. I think it's the first time we've had a governor and a former presidential candidate, and he was in town today for City Club of San Diego, courtesy of George Mitrovich. And we have with us the esteemed and honorable Michael Dukakis. Governor Dukakis, how are you tonight?
I'm well. It's great to talk with you. But I have a question for Richard. Did you run the Boston?
I ran Boston in 2010 and again in 2012. 2012, of course, in record-breaking heat.
He lost 11. What, you carried
11? I lost 9 pounds in 12.
How did you do?
I did really well in 10. I finished in 12. I mean, the key in 12 with that brutal heat was just to finish.
He carried what? How many pounds?
Talking to a guy, Richard, who ran the Boston in 1951.
Wow.
At the age of 17.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
We had a record field of 300. And at that time, there was no shoe made designed to run on hard surfaces.
Sure.
So I ran 26 miles, 385 yards in low kid sneakers.
Wow.
And I did it in 3.5 hours, which wasn't bad.
That's very impressive.
There it is.
Well, here's something else we didn't know about you, Governor, because when you went to Brookline High School, this is on your Wikipedia, this is outstanding, you played how many sports? I mean, you were cross-country, tennis, baseball, and basketball. Did you letter in all of those? Or
Just played baseball my first year and then switched to tennis, became the captain of the tennis team, ran cross-country, and I was what in those days was called a back guard. We didn't have point guards.
Right.
We had back guards, you know. But I was a starter on the high school basketball
and an honor student, Harvard Law School, and the rest is history, for gosh sakes. But it was such a pleasure to hear you speak today at City
Club.
Well,
it was fun to do it.
Now, how many years you've been out here? Now you've done this 14 years.
Well, this is our 20th winter quarter at UCLA. We've been coming out here for the last 20 years.
Teaching what?
And thanks to George Mitrovich, for the last 16, 17, 18, I've spoken at the San Diego City Club. It's always been great fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought we had a great crowd and lots of interested people and interesting people, lots of young people who are beginning to get involved in politics and beginning to learn about government. And it's always just a great pleasure to be able to come down.
Amazing to see that.
And to do the winter out here, which particularly this year, I don't have to tell you.
Yeah, I was going
to
say,
going on back in Boston.
Do your friends in Boston hate you for coming out here for the winter quarter?
Well, they keep asking me what it's like, and I say, well, it's tough. I mean, it's 75, it's blue skies, and I'll see you guys in April when the magnolias start blooming on Commonwealth Avenue.
Exactly.
But it's really been great, and I teach the rest of the year at Northeastern, as you know, in Boston. But coming out here has really been great fun, and I've been part of the new School of Public Affairs at UCLA, which is really thriving, and both Kitty and I just have a great time.
Hey, I have to tell you my Boston Marathon joke, though. My joke is I've run two of them, and the average temperature has been 62. It was 32 the first time and 92 the second time.
Oh, my God.
Well, so anyway.
Yeah, he lost. Tell me how many pounds of ice.
I lost 9 pounds.
How many pounds of ice did you carry, though?
Who knows?
I think it was like 11 pounds of ice.
It was about 11 pounds of ice.
Richard, let me tell you what happened to me. Yeah. I was the captain of the tennis team.
Okay.
And my tennis coach had begged me not to run.
Yeah.
Because our first match was the following day.
Oh, no.
But, you know, I was a Boston kid. I had watched the marathon from the time I was 3 or 4. It runs right through our town, which happens to be Brookline, which is the town immediately west of Boston.
Absolutely.
So you're at about, as you know, you're 24 miles when you hit Beacon Street in Brookline.
Heartbreak Hill by BC.
The entire town was out there waiting for me and my buddy Buzz Wiseman. We were both cross-country runners. And The following morning, I woke up, got out of bed to get ready to lead my tennis team at the Brookline courts where we were playing Malden Catholic. Fortunately, not a tennis power.
Okay.
I kind of shuffled to the bathroom. My mother was making me breakfast downstairs. And my thighs had locked on me.
Oh, yeah. My God.
So I couldn't walk down the stairs.
You cramped.
So I'm at the top of the stairs feeling like a fool, thinking about Coach Wells, who's going to have a few things to say to me when I show up.
And you're the captain.
And I can't walk down the stairs. I finally sat on my rump, bounced down the stairs, had a quick breakfast, and went to play. You know, I was the number one guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
We won 8-1.
Wow.
And I don't have to tell you who the one was. I mean, I couldn't move laterally at all.
You took one for the team, right?
But you inspired
everybody. You took one for the team.
Well,
so.
I don't know what it was, but if the guy hit it 1 foot to my right or my left, I couldn't reach it.
Right.
And it took me about a week to get back to the point where I was walking normally. But as you know, it's a great race. It's a historic race.
Oh, yeah.
And if we do get the Olympics, and you know Boston has been designated U.S. choice for this in 2024. Unfortunately, under Olympic rules, the historic Boston Marathon course is too hilly.
Right.
Oh, my gosh.
Newton Hills are too
really?
Tough. So we're going to have to find another course, which is, I think, unfortunate.
Yeah, it is.
But it really will be a great time if we win the Olympics, and in fact, if the Olympic marathon is run.
Well, speaking of sports, Governor, you're 81 years old, and I'm amazed that you look terrific. Do you still exercise a lot? You and kid, you do a lot of walking. What's your secret?
We do a lot of
walking. Is it the Greek food? Is the avgolemono? What is it?
Greek food is obviously the secret here.
Mediterranean diet.
Picking your parents carefully is important as well. Kitty's dad was a member of the first violin section of the Boston Symphony and the associate conductor of the Boston Pops under Arthur Fiedler for many, many years.
Is that right?
He was still conducting when he was 94.
Wow.
My mother lived until she was 5 months short of 100. So,
oh my gosh.
At least the gene pool is good. And as you know, I mean, I'm married to the best-looking Medicare recipient in America. So that's great fun, and Kitty's doing
you know,
I may have
encountered your father-in-law because when I was at BC, one of my fondest memories was Arthur Fiedler. They had a concert on campus where the basketball team played, Robert Center. They didn't have the entire orchestra. I think they had 84 out of 125.
Well,
but Arthur Fiedler.
Harry Ellis Dixon was probably playing in the first violin section.
Wow.
And he was Kitty's dad.
That's unbelievable.
And by the way, although Kitty and I were. I was a senior. She was a freshman in high school, so I'd heard a lot about her from the freshman guys, but we really didn't know each other. But she says she handed me a cup of water on Beacon Street as I was trotting down that street in 1951. Yeah, I was dying of thirst.
Before she even knew you, right?
That's right. Handed me a cup of water. So it took me several years to find her after that. We just celebrated our 51st wedding anniversary.
Congratulations. That's exciting stuff.
That's
but we are exercisers. We do. I walk 2 miles over to Northeast University from our home in the morning, 2 miles back at night. I do a lot of stretching and that kind of stuff. And Kitty does Pilates and was a modern dancer. So, you know, we're going to keep doing it.
Yeah.
Somebody tells us that we got to stop.
We got to get into fitness. All these computers and video games, I think it's taking its toll on the youth of America. But by the way, it was really great. The kids today, weren't they just
wonderful.
So articulate and brilliant? I mean,
just great questions.
A group of kids who are going into the elementary schools, try to get elementary school students interested in politics early on, get them serious about voting, get them serious about getting deeply and actively involved in local politics. Yeah. I think it's great.
Your idea about having internships in public officials' offices for students was a brilliant one. I hope we can get some traction under that.
I hope so, too. I think what I said was that not only should we start teaching civics again, which we're not doing much of,
right?
But I want every junior and senior in high school in the United States to do an internship with a public official in his or her community. And let me tell you, that would be such an important contribution to these folks' understanding of what goes on, what does government do, what doesn't it do, how does it do it. And I didn't talk about this today, Joe, but I was fortunate enough as a state legislator to have a guidance department at the local high school that came to the conclusion that the last half of the senior year in high school really is kind of a waste, right?
Right.
So they gave these students the option of spending half of their time in the last semester of their last year in high school doing something interesting, useful, I mean, in some kind of a job. And I got a call saying, would you like a high school intern who will work half-time for you at the State House? Now, at that time, we had no staff of any kind, none. And I said, are you kidding? Send them to me. I must have had seven of them. They were not only great kids, every single one of them went into public service profession.
Wow.
Great.
Isn't that something?
Including John Kerry, Lieutenant Governor, who's now Secretary of State.
That's right. He's now the Secretary of State. I used to tell him, hey, without me, you'd be nothing. If I hadn't won, you wouldn't have won. And where would you be today?
That's right.
I'm very proud of him. I think he's doing a great job as Secretary of State, and I hope he continues to do it.
Yeah. Anyway, Governor, we have to take our break right now, but thank you so much for spending some time with us. We really appreciate it. And we'll see you next year, and
we'll be back. Best
of success and health to you.
Take care. Thanks so much.
Again, good night. We'll be right back right after this. Hang on. All right. We are back with the award-winning It's Your Money and Your Life, Joe Vecchio and Richard Musio. Hey, if you want to email us, just it's Joe or Richard, either one, at iymoney.com. It'll get to us. I know Mary Lou and Escondido has gotten a hold of us before.
And others. Hey, Joe.
We've got Ed Harris, who's a candidate for State Assembly in the studio.
Quick question. Dukakis was taped, correct? He was taped today, correct?
Yeah, the videotape. Yeah,
maybe we can get it and put it up on our website.
We could through City Club. I'm sure George Mitrovich can arrange that for us. So, but anyway, you wanted to talk. Well, Dick Enberg, we're going Monday and Tuesday night to see the show. It's already sold out.
Sold out. Sorry, folks.
So... But it's all about Al McGuire, and you can probably read all about it in the paper, I suppose.
Yep, and a big congratulations to Ann Garrett. Ann was a guest on our show just before Thanksgiving. She's the spokeswoman for my foundation, the Move Your Feet Before You Eat Foundation. And Ann, this past Sunday up in Huntington Beach at the Surf City Marathon and Half Marathon, ran a half marathon in 2 hours and 12 minutes.
And why is that important, Richard?
Because somebody might go, that's not that fast. That's a 10-minute pace. I could maybe do that. Well, Ann ran a half marathon in 2 hours and 12 minutes this past Sunday, which set the U.S. women's record for a woman 80 years old or older in this country. That's the fastest female half marathon run by any woman in the history of this country who's age 80 or older. So hats off to Ann. That's incredible.
And how old is she? She's about 84, right?
No, she's 80. She just turned 80 last year.
And she didn't start running till when? 60?
Age of 72. So she's been running about 8 years. So
there's hope for us all.
There's hope for us all. But that's so anyway, Ann, congratulations. Absolutely incredible accomplishment. It was great because we had a lot of volunteers from the Turkey Trot out helping out at that event.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife ran it, and I ran it, and we barely came in front of Ann. She's so fast. So.
Yeah, that's great. Hey, this past Wednesday, the group of 12 out at Sanford Burnham Medical Research Institute, and we've had some of their researchers on in the past, and Joe Panetta from Biocom, as you recall, when we were at La Valencia. But they get great speakers every month, and it was Mayor Kevin Faulkner this month. They're going to have the police chief, Shelley Zimmerman, soon. They've had the past two mayors and all kinds of interesting people, whether it's the director of the Museum of Art or something like that. So congratulations to Rena Horowitz and Doreen Schoenbrunn, who's also on the Arts Commission. We're going to get them in here as guests some night.
It'd be fun.
Very interesting and have done a lot for philanthropy. But without further delay, I hate when they say do. I don't think that makes
you're wasting time,
grammatical
Joe.
Sense. But anyway, without further delay, we have in the studio with us, he's been on the city council. He's been with the lifeguard service for many, many years. He's running for state assembly. His name is Ed Harris. Ed, good evening. How are you tonight?
Good evening. Thanks for having me on.
Sure thing. When's the last time you followed a presidential candidate on air?
That might be the last time, right?
Yeah, that's not going to happen, especially one with a history of that.
Mm-hmm. You know, we did serve three terms in
Boston. 12 years. Longest serving governor in the history of the Commonwealth.
He served 4 years, and then he took a four-year break, and then
and
he
then
got
eight.
And then, probably have term limits now, so that probably won't happen again, just like Jerry Brown will have served four terms, which won't happen again. But anyway, Ed. And let's start with you. I know you've been in San Diego a long, long while, but born and raised where? Where'd you go to school? And then we'll get into the current stuff.
Sure. Yeah, I grew up in Orange County. I grew up in a time when it was still orange groves and wheat fields, and it was a great place to grow up. And then I was in the Marines, served mostly at Camp Pendle, but also a bit overseas in Westpacs and whatnot.
What year was that?
I was in from 84 till 88.
Okay.
And then, you know, I was down here, and I had been going to school. I was going to be a fireman, of all things, and had done some interviews, was just about done with my degree in fire science. And
where was that? What school?
Palomar College.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was running on the beach one day, and I saw a flyer for lifeguards on the trash can. And I never looked back.
You know, I heard those flyers and those signs work, that about and half of the folks who come into that profession just see an ad somewhere.
Yeah,
I'll bet that trash can is still there too, Ed.
Yeah, it's I would have liked to have bronzed it, because it turned out pretty good for me.
Good.
It was you know, I didn't know at the time that lifeguarding was a profession. And you know, as you get in there and you do a summer and you start seeing all the good work and realizing, you know, lifeguards make about 6,000 water rescues a year, cliff rescues, river rescues. And so it's been 26 years of a lot of excitement and working with great people. And most of all, I'm very appreciative to the city for such a phenomenal career.
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't know what an important position that is. I know I live on Neptune in Leucadia, so we're across the street from the beach. So we know a lot of lifeguards. We spend a lot of time at the beach. We live there because we like the lifestyle. And I think a lot of people just don't know what a tough job it is and what a valuable service it is to the community, because it's not easy work by any stretch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my son asked me the other day what the hardest part of being a lifeguard was, and I told him watching the water. And
yeah, no, you can't go just to great waves. You can't jump in because you're working.
Yeah, you take your, you take a break that and someone has a mishap, and you're going to feel pretty terrible.
Yeah.
So, right?
Yeah, it's just attention, you know, having that attention and that mindset that keeps you focused the entire time.
Yeah. So when did you start the lifeguards? What year was that?
So I started in 89, and I lifeguarded in the summers. And then in the winter, I traveled the world. I taught diving at resorts in the West Indies, in the, Australia, Tahiti. And so I traveled. I lived for a whole winter in Mexico in a camper. You know, I just after the Marine Corps, I wanted a little more freedom and a little more independence. But the great thing about lifeguarding was you could come back and you had guaranteed work. Well, every summer you gain experience. We're the only job, well, not the only job, but certainly the only safety service where we don't hire people straight off the street into a permanent benefited position. You have to compete for that job.
And I see him training on Mission Bay. I mean, it's a lot of...
It takes 5 to 12 years until you're really qualified and you... Hopefully somebody retires and you get a position.
Mm-hmm. So when did you go full-time with the lifeguard?
So in 1996, I went full-time with the lifeguard service. And, you know, soon after, because of my diving experience, became a dive team member, promoted fairly early to sergeant, and have been a dive team sergeant and currently stationed at the boating safety unit.
And then you're public spokesman for the association. So what year did you take that role?
So, you know, I did some stuff with the association in the early 2000s and started bringing attention to the facilities, you know, to the fact that they're like visitor centers, you know, thousands of people come in and out and they're falling down. And we actually had more lifeguards. We had lifeguards getting seriously injured due to faulty stairs and other things in our own towers. And so I started going to the council and saying, look, you know, it's a dangerous enough job. We shouldn't be getting injured in our towers.
Right.
But then I took a break from that, continued to work on all my boating safety stuff. But in 2010, we really started the cuts. Mm-hmm. And I made a movement to form the lifeguards into their own representation.
Mm-hmm.
And it was mainly because we had no representation. You start to learn how funds are allocated from city council.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't, in my opinion, being allocated to the best need. They were being allocated to political pressure. And so I went down and I started, started learning the process. And, you know, we went through the cuts and we understood it. Unfortunately, there were some bad decisions that had been made and put the city into really bad financial shape. And I actually did a big tour with Jerry Sanders. And I said, look, you know, if I go out and I find money, can I put it back into what you cut? Because you've just eliminated our training program. And he said, yeah. And so I drove from City Hall over to Toyota and just started with the service mechanic over at Mossy Toyota. And he passed it up and said, hey, you know what? How would you like to sponsor the lifeguards? Toyota came back within about a month and said, yeah, we would like to do that. We'd give you 34 vehicles, which is our fleet, save the city millions of dollars. The hardest part about that deal was it took me 2.5 years to get it through the bureaucracy of the city.
Oh, jeez.
in a cash-strapped situation.
Isn't that something?
You got to put the paper in the right file.
So. Yeah. So anyway, the council, I learned the value of five votes. Mm-hmm. Five votes press the issue. They mm-hmm. also put the money back into our budget.
Mm-hmm.
And now, just to understand, Toyota is also now serving the lifeguards in LA County. I believe they're about to sign a contract in Hawaii. So it's been mm-hmm. very successful. And those kind of win-win partnerships are stuff that I look for, mm-hmm. That we can partner with private business and we can get a win-win.
Yeah. Well, it's great. It's great marketing for them. And what the heck, I bought a Toyota. I drive a Prius, but coming over tonight, I got stuck behind a Prius. I'll tell you, I go fast. Most of them don't.
But, yeah, you're a Medal of Valor winner too, right? Medal of Valor winner?
Yeah, you know what?
Because that's another first. You're the first Medal of Valor winner we've had on the show.
Today. Well, and let's be clear. It's not the a military Medal of Valor. It's from the Life Saving Association. So I don't want to have any. I was fortunate enough. The lifeguards. There's a lot of lifeguards that qualify and never got put up for mm-hmm. that medal.
Anyway, I hate to interrupt you, but we do have to take our break right now. But we'll get to your medal and a lot more stuff right after this break. Stay tuned. We're back with the second half of the award-winning It's Your Money and Your Life. And now over to Richard to thank our sponsors.
A big thank you, as always, to our sponsors. Couldn't do it without them. Drew Freitas and Michael Caronta with UBS. Jason Kruger, CPA with Signature Analytics, the best CFO service here in San Diego. Our other most favorite group of CPAs, Pluto Epic CPAs, now in San Marcos, gearing up for tax season. Joel Grushkin with Cost Segregation Initiatives, helping real estate owners improve their cash flow. Recent guest, Lane Elliott, Vice President of California Republic Bank, a really neat niche market bank that serves wealthy families and family offices. Carl Sheeler with Berkeley Research Group, the best business valuation firm on the planet. Carl and I are going to be presenting on February 24th up in Irvine. So check out the website for that. It's going to be a great event. Lots of people coming. Brenda Geiger, Law Office of Brenda Geiger, Estate Planning and Asset Protection. Hub Insurance, formerly Mars Maddox Insurance here in Carlsbad. Mr. Neil Staley coming up in March as a guest, experts in healthcare and employee benefits. Paul Hines with Hearthstone Wealth Advisors and Stop Financial Elder Abuse Alliance. And last but not least, in a big event coming up on March 9th and 10th in Coronado, Servant Leadership Institute. Check out servantleadershipinstitute.com on March 9th at the Coronado Marriott, appearing on the same stage all together for the first time in history. John Maxwell, Stephen M. R. Covey, and Ken Blanchard. Exciting stuff. I'm going to be there. So is my wife, Mary. So thank you to all of our sponsors. And Joe, how can our listeners find out more about our great sponsors?
All they have to do is get over to iymoney.com and take your cursor, go across the top of the page. You'll see the sponsor tab. Just put it on there, and there's a drop-down menu. And you can click on any one or all of them, and you can find out their contact information, their professional background, etc. And they've all been working with Richard for many, many years with great success. Correct, Richard?
And in some cases, as many as 25 years.
Yes.
Hey, Ed Harris, we've got some big waves coming up Monday and Tuesday, so I feel really safe.
I wanted to thank Sean Puckett, though.
Oh, Sean, yes.
I want because he hosted Gary Aguirre and me for Star San Diego Breakfast last Wednesday. And he listens to our podcast. I know he's a former sponsor, but he loves our show. So
and everything went smoothly. You got Gary in and everything was good?
Everything was wonderful. Okay. So anyway, back to
Ed. I feel very safe that we got big waves coming up and I got a lifeguard sitting in here.
There you go.
But again, real quickly, back to your Medal of Valor. What was the story real quickly on that?
Real quickly, I was at home. It was kind of when cell phones were predating us. So the pager went off that there was a demasted sailboat. Surf was breaking about 100 yards outside the Ocean Beach Pier. I always kept gear in my private truck and drove out on the end of the pier and looked out and saw a sailboat and jumped off the pier. And I got two guys off the boat. Our rescue boat swung in about the same time. Myself, three other lifeguards, or two other lifeguards, got the guys off the boat, put them on the rescue boat. The surf hit about that time. I wasn't able to get on the rescue boat. The sailboat went in, hit the pier, sank, and, they picked me up afterwards. So, one of the rescues that was certainly one of the highlights of my career. But we have lifeguards. There's, I believe, 10 lifeguards from the city of San Diego that have earned that. There's only 40 nationwide. So it gives you kind of a representative of how important San Diego is to the nation, maybe 42. But all of our permanent lifeguards that I've worked with, some have it, some don't, have done stuff scarier than that, trust me, and have done phenomenal stuff. So I was fortunate enough to get written up.
And so being a lifeguard wasn't dangerous enough? You decided to go into politics?
How about those shipping containers? Yeah, we talked at the break about that, and there's still some by Tourmaline Surfing Park there, and it's kind of a shabby situation for the lifeguards. And when are we going to get that turned around? And you want to explain to the folks what's going on?
It's unfortunate. You know, we've grown faster than we've been able to keep up with our facilities and our needs. And so, you know, we've been guarding Tourmaline, I believe, since around 1997 or North Pacific Beach. Mm-hmm. And we don't have much up there. We have a tower, and then we have a shipping container that acts as the it acts as the first aid room, the lunch room, the visitor's room. But most importantly, we have those in several beaches. Now, we have made great progress, and the city of San Diego has been great, especially over the last 6 years. So we have towers being built in La Jolla. We have them being built, I believe South Mission is next. Mm-hmm. And so we have them still shipping containers in South Mission, on the bay, as well as over in Ocean Beach. But there's plans in the works to try and get those out, because they're just a big, ugly sore. People got to understand that tourism is such an economic indicator for San Diego. And we bring in so much money to San Diego with tourism that we got to look at all that stuff. And what we want is, we want people to come up and say, hey, this is a nice place. I want to come back. Mm-hmm. And I want to tell all of my friends what the experience I had here. But San Diego's beaches aren't safe. They're made safe by lifeguards, and that's clear when you're making 6,000 rescues a year.
Mm-hmm. And they're packed in the summer, folks. I know, South Mission, you can't even get parking now. It's very difficult.
Yep.
So anyway, let's hope they get that situation rectified. But you also are in this Fill the Fin campaign. You want to explain a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's something that we grew a few years ago. You know, one thing that we have strived for is to increase our diversity in the lifeguard service and outreach. There's people that live in San Diego that never got to go to the beach. And so Jackie Robinson YMCA has been a phenomenal partner. The Junior Guard program started a foundation when we were in our budget cuts. They have grown exponentially. And they are, all that is geared towards helping people through our mentorship programs. It's geared towards providing money for Jackie Robinson to help us do Bridge to the Beach, where we bus kids to the beach. We give scholarships, all these things to try and increase our diversity. But more importantly, everybody that lives in San Diego should have access to the beach. Mm. I grew up in Orange County, where it took an hour on the OCTD at 10 years old. It cost me a quarter, but I was able to get to the beach, and let me go in there.
I'll tell you. It's an hour on the bus.
On the bus straight down Harbor Drive past Disneyland.
And that's around in an hour back, too.
Back.
Wow. Well, that's something else. I don't know if mothers do that today, do they?
I don't know if my wife's going to let my 10-year-old on the bus by himself.
But anyway, you got a taste of the city council here. You served how many months? Like 6 months or so?
I was about 8.5 months in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you know, it was a great experience. You know, we focused on communities. And what I like to tell people is, you know, I'm your neighbor. You know, that's I'm an average Joe. And so what I wanted to get done were the things that frustrate people. Mm-hmm. The crosswalks that they couldn't get done in 4 years. Mm-hmm. That were already funded. I don't think people should have to pay to do a median artwork at a school.
Mm-hmm.
Just a phenomenal amount of things. You know, we have merchants down in Ocean Beach that, because of our lack of ability to field police officers, have to pay for their own security.
Yeah.
Homeless issues.
Homeless youth is a big thing in OB now, which is, I'm down there, you know, I haven't seen so many young people on the streets as I do now. It's kind of daunting.
The beach area is second only to downtown in homeless, but we have a unique homeless that we call the Travelers. Mm-hmm. And so it's not illegal to be homeless, but people need to be respectful, and we need to hold them to the law.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't want you urinating. We don't want you throwing your trash. We don't want you committing crimes.
No vandalizing.
And we have to have enough enforcement to deal with those issues.
But quickly, for our listeners who don't know your district, can you tell us who was in front of you and who came in behind you, given the unusual circumstances with the former district person who headed up your district?
Sure, absolutely. Kevin Faulkner was in the district for, I believe, 7 years. Mm-hmm. And when he ascended to the mayor, that seat became vacant. And because it was under a year, it's appointed by city council.
Right.
I was appointed by both sides of the aisle, three Republicans and two Democrats.
Unanimous?
Three and two. I got five votes.
Five votes.
Okay.
Five votes.
Right.
Five out of nine.
Okay. So. Yeah, five out of eight.
Well, eight. Right. Okay, so that's right.
And then following me was Lori Zaff. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't eligible to run for the seat. That's part of when you are appointed. And so I got to sit for 8 months and basically do as much as I could. So it was more of a sprint. Mm-hmm. But, you know, to my staff, who was phenomenal, we got Legislator of the Year from the Claremont Town Council. We got awards from Ocean Beach, from Pacific Beach, and Mission Beach because what I did is I took my observation skills that I get from lifeguarding and just went down and listened to people mm-hmm. and said, hey, what do we need to do? And then we turn around and, you know, if we couldn't get it done at the lower level, we bring the department director in and say, tell me why this couldn't be done, and mm-hmm. it's been funded for 4 years. Some of the things you're seeing to come to fruition are some of the old houses that have been in a construction mode for the last 10, 15 years. They're in the Beacon this week. That we started that. We said, why aren't these moving? You know, it's 16 years, sell it, build it, or buy it, but mm-hmm. you can't have rusty rebar mm-hmm. And an eyesore in the neighborhood. So yeah. Those things are coming to fruition. They happened after I left. But
I want to thank on behalf of Isabel Cruz, former guest on our show, who owns the Cantina restaurant in Pacific Beach. I called you or your office. She needed stripes in front of her restaurant because the parking was in disarray, and that's been rectified. So she thanks you, and she's I'm getting a free breakfast Monday because of it. So
small business.
Careful, Joe. The IRS might be listening to the show.
So. Small business is the backbone. You know those beach communities. Mm-hmm. Those beach small businesses, we need to do everything we can for them.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, let's see. So state office, what do you plan to accomplish on the state level in your district?
It's just a lot of stuff with the ocean. You know, the greatest part about the 78th is, I believe it's the best district. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got Hillcrest, you've got downtown. And then for a lifeguard, you've got the coast. You've got the coast from Imperial Beach that runs all the way to Solana Beach. And so there's a lot of things as a lifeguard that I watch. You know, I was swimming last year outside of the kelp. And as I'm swimming along, I got swallowed. I turned my head, and a huge black object just grabbed my face. And I thought something was eating me. Mm-hmm. But it turns out it was a black trash bag. but it gave me a heart attack. I was in fortunate enough on a vacation recently after I finished council. I took my family and went to Tahiti where I used to work and visited some friends. And in 2 weeks, I only saw two plastic bags in the ocean there.
Hmm.
And the reason why is they charge for those bags. And they charge a lot, actually. They charge 92 cents mm-hmm. For a plastic bag when you leave the grocery store.
Wow.
Single-use plastic bags, you know, is something we got to get a handle on.
Well, in Hawaii, they have that plastic beach, and of course, there's the plastic gyre out there, right? There's, I think, three or five of them. They're huge. They're as big as Texas.
We have no plastic now in Solana Beach.
And we're moving that way. I met with Sherry Leitner. I was fortunate enough to go and help with Surf Rider, mm-hmm. and we met with Sherry, and Sherry's putting it back now that it looks like it's going to be referendized at the state level.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're back on that. But there's a lot of different issues. You know, when I started off as a lifeguard, we got a gamma globulin shot in your butt every spring because you were swimming out in polluted water.
Yeah.
And so things, when you've been around 25 years, you see the value of that kind of legislation at the state level.
Mm-hmm.
We watched the abalone population crash, mm-hmm. That we lost that whole fishery. We're seeing concerns about the lobster fishery right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so we saw the positive effects of gill nets. When they moved gill nets offshore, we saw the shark populations come back. We saw the sea bass populations come back. And so those are high on my list.
Mm-hmm.
Public safety is very high on my list. You know, we've got to get a handle on schools.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of stuff. And, you know, once you start wading in up there, there's going to be more.
Yeah. Anyway, we're going to take our break right now, Eric. So we'll get into more of these issues in the state office with Ed Harris when we come back. Stay tuned. All right, we're back in the home stretch of It's Your Money and Your Life, the award-winning show with our candidate for the State Office Assembly, 78th District, and former city council member and public spokesman for the Lifeguard Association, Ed Harris. So we are back. Richard, you had a question, right?
No, I just wanted to point out to my wife, Mary, who's listening, that Ed was a diving instructor on Moorea for 4 months. Can you believe it? 4 months on Moorea? Incredible.
And that's this island
near Tahiti.
Near Tahiti.
Near Tahiti.
That's, well, I think Marlon Brando even owned an island out there.
I think he did. Anyway, so it was a comment.
How about the seals?
We're just jealous.
What are we doing about La Jolla? And the lifeguards, this affects them too. They got to breathe in that stench up in La Jolla Cove, and it's pretty bad. Have they... I know the former mayor had some kind of bio.
I won't mention his name.
he had a spray that was seemed to work, but it cost a lot. What are they doing about this, Ed? Anything?
They're not doing anything, and it's got to be a state solution. We've got to look at a marine mammal management plan for the whole state, we have to look at that. And it's a difficult thing. We've got the children's pool set up, but it's. The sea lion population has the influx there. I sat and watched it grow, and there's days when it's over 600. Mm-hmm. I was the sergeant up in the La Jolla area for 7 years prior to going on city council, and so I'm well versed in how it's grown and what it's taken off. But more importantly, you got George's at the Cove. You've got all these businesses up
there, La Valencia and everything,
and you can't even walk up without getting inundated. So we've got to look at it from a statewide point of view.
Well, and folks, just to be clear, there's the sea lions and then there's the harbor seals. The harbor seals, they just have a pupping season. I don't know how many weeks it is a year down in the children's pool. The sea lions, they're propagating 24/7, 365, and the population apparently has exploded over the last few years. Maybe global warming had something to do with it. I don't know, but it seems like and the birds too.
It's not just we're not unique to the problem, and so it's a coastal problem. We had we had some squid runs that may have caused them to move in here. Mm-hmm. They move sometimes. They're on their own program, I understand that they were in San Francisco and then they all disappeared one day. Mm-hmm. I think they came down here. But it's got to be looked at. It's got to be looked
at. Kind of like the homeless issue. We have homeless sea lions now, so we got to find another home for them.
The good thing is the children's pool, that's still a problem, but what we wanted to avoid there is people petting, people touching.
Right.
And so, currently that 6-month plan takes care of it part of the way. I would have liked a broader plan to address the whole issue. But it was a step in the right
direction. Now, they've taken part in the fence down, and people are allowed to go out there now, but I think the rocks are so polluted that a lot of people still going out there, or?
No, it's fully blocked right now.
Oh, it is?
It is fully blocked.
It was open for a while, though.
Yeah, it'll open again in May. It's blocked during the pupping season. The problem we face now is that there's no plan to clean the sand, and so...
I'm talking about where the sea lions are, though.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the children.
Oh, no, no, not the children. I'm talking about the sea lions.
Yeah, that's open. Most of them are at the Cove and other
Are people going out there in a little bit, or...
They are, but that's not going to be enough to detract.
You're going to get your shoes soiled because those rocks are polluted. They need to be washed down with just water, I guess. I'm pro animals, folks. I don't want to be cruel to the animals, but if you go to La Jolla and it's such a pretty place and you have to smell that.
Yeah, especially if the wind's blowing a certain way.
Yeah,
oh, my goodness.
That bad odor, it's really off-putting. So I hope they get it figured out a little bit. So
I think we'll get there. So Big Surf will clean it and hopefully clean it up. Yeah. And, like I said, we want to have nature control nature, but we also have, we intervene all the time because none of us wants to see an emaciated seal sitting on the beach. All of us want someone to come pick it up, take care of it. But we just got to figure out what that balance is because we're interfering either way.
Yeah. So maybe we get in state office. You can examine what's going on up and down the whole coast of California and maybe even further. I don't know how far north the sea lions go, but hopefully they come up with some kind of solution.
What's a typical day for you like now that you're trying to get elected?
I'm still working as lifeguard sergeant.
Okay.
So that's taking up most of my time. Come April, I have a schedule that's a little more flexible. So setting up a lot of meetings, going out and looking for, obviously, supporters. You don't run for office in the state without funds. That's that's part of it. But it's still, for me, I want to be elected by people. So going out, rather than spending all my time going out and meeting with wealthy people to donate, I want to go and talk to the neighbors. I want to go and talk to
the business owners too.
The business owners, small business in the beach area is very important to me. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting district in which a large percentage of the people are homeowners. So they're concerned about state legislation that is causing more congestion in the area. They want to live in the neighborhood that they bought in, and we're seeing changes. We will see changes, but things like Pacific Beach needs, we had trolleys 50, 60 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And now they're telling me it's going to be 50 years till we can get one back. The state needs to kick down money. We need to get a trolley that goes from the new, proposed Sandag project up, Mass Transit project that goes down Grand Avenue. and drops people right there at the beach, and start getting those people that commute onto the trolley and get...
Wasn't it years ago you could take a trolley from La Jolla all the way downtown, right? You went right through Mission Beach, and right?
What a cool ride that would be. Neighborhoods like Normal Heights had trolleys. I mean, it was incredible.
They weren't as expensive either.
I wonder if you get some of those Old Town trolleys. I know there's some other areas that are using the Old Town trolleys where they can maybe just take those, kind of an open-air ride down the coast. That might be an idea. I don't know.
No, I think we can get creative like that. I think that, but it's got to be more dependable. We've got to have a trolley system. We have a mass transit system that you can get most places, and it doesn't shut off at 9 o'clock at night or 8 o'clock at night. So,
they need it after 2 a.m. because you want to. Well, I know PB, they put those police checkpoints up all the time, right, for DUIs, right? And it's a big problem.
Let's provide as much mass transit as we can. Let's get people on bicycles. Let's do everything that we can to make it easy for people to not drive their own car.
Mm-hmm. And how do people find your election website?
It's not set up yet.
Okay,
you can find me on LinkedIn and you can find me on Facebook. How's that?
Okay.
So this election is coming up when? In the fall? Or
so it's 2016 election. Atkins' seat. She'll be termed out.
Okay.
And so we're all watching and waiting to see what's going to happen with what she's going to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And you have
some competition too, right? Sarah Boot is running also.
Sarah Boot is also in the race. Mm-hmm. She ran unsuccessfully, as you know, against Lori Zaff in mm-hmm. District 2. And I haven't heard anybody from the Republican side that's been confirmed.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So, well, you've certainly been here a number of years, and I know you've made a good number of contacts, so that counts for a lot going into something like this, right?
Yeah, like I said, the most important thing for me is to be wanted by the people that live in the district. And mm-hmm. so I had great contacts with city council.
Mm-hmm.
People were very receptive to the job that we did there.
Any endorsements by anybody we know yet?
Not that I'm going to release tonight, but okay. I do appreciate it.
Any wise men that we should be known to talk about? But
there's several wise men.
Anyway, we've got to wrap it right there. Ed, thanks so much for being
really
our guest.
I really appreciate it.
Good luck with everything in the future. And thanks to Governor Michael Dukakis for being on the show. Richard, always great to see
thanks
you.
Thanks to George Mitrovich for the City Club event. That was a blast.
Absolutely. So Eric Rubikov, our sound engineer, thanks for making us sound great. Thanks to Craig Blanke, our account executive. And thanks to Dave Smith, our programming genius, who runs things on the radio side here at KFMB. And if you want to see a great show, get over to the Old Globe and see Murder for Two. I saw the opening night. It's really spectacular. And all these podcasts are at iymoney.com. We take out the commercials. And you have a great week, folks. Enjoy the great weather, and we'll see you next time. Good night now.
AM 760 KFMB.